podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 18 from the XFM Breakfast Show. And this week, I've got a little help from my infant son. So, on the show, me, Danny Wallace.
Daddy Rats.
Yep. Matt Dyson.
Matt Dyson.
Mm-hmm. Baby Dave.
Baby Dave.
Very good, keep going. Now say Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr.
Tim Minchin.
Tim Minchin.
Quizface.
Quizface.
Yeah, a little bit spitty, that one. And we find out what makes you cry in Tell Us Something We Don't Know.
Tell us something we don't know.
All of it. So he's...
Do not mock my son.
So let's begin.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Matt, so I heard quite a lot of the new show Smart on Sunday, but equally I didn't hear all of it because of the miniature train. You heard... A lot of it. You heard it. You heard almost all of it.
I heard quite a bit of it. Lots of A-list guests on there.
A-list guests.
Exclusive
good
interviews.
Chat, great music.
Good
all that
chat.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, lovely East Coast Scottish accent he's got.
I liked it
very much.
That's good. There's one thing, though, that I guess that stuck in your craw a little bit this morning. You came in, you flung your bag down, you banged a mug, and there was just anger in your eyes. It was like me and Dave were going, what's going on, big guy? What's happening here? And then you explained a bit, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you explain that?
Well, he's never had a speaking role on our show.
No. We're talking, of course, of Program Associate Steve.
Program Associate Steve.
Do you notice how we call him Program Associate Steve?
Yes.
Other shows would you know, say, like, Work Experience Steve.
Yeah.
But I find that disparaging and disrespectful, so I instigated the Program Associate title.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
good.
Gordon calls him Work Experience
Gordon,
Steve.
Gordon.
And
yeah.
speaks to him on air.
Well, I did, because I didn't realise that Work Experience Steve, as I'm now going to call him after hearing this... was involved in the Gordon's Show.
I know,
show
yeah,
on Sundays.
He kept it quiet, didn't
Feels
he?
Feels a little bit, I don't know, is disrespectful, is that too...
No, I don't think it is, because, I mean, you know...
But you're saying he speaks on the show, I mean, he's here now, he's, you know, you're near a microphone.
He was all over the show, it's ridiculous, like, I mean, it's like, I don't mind hearing a little bit of Steve every now and again.
Well, let's hear...
But not every link.
Well, let's hear it, let's have a listen.
What would you call your tortoise if you had a pet tortoise?
Shelly.
I just can't believe you said that.
Because tortoises said they have shells.
They have shells.
Yeah, right. And you got it Shelly.
That's Matt.
That's great. Right, Work Experience Steve, what would you go for?
I'd probably go for one of the Ninja Turtles.
What were they called again?
Leonardo.
Michelangelo.
Raffaele.
Can't remember the fourth one.
Shelly.
Right, so he made a punchline. He did a punchline. He did a topper.
He's doing gags.
So he did a gag. He topped it. He topped Gordon's joke.
Yeah.
Wow, on his first show.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable behaviour. Steve, you're here.
Hello.
Don't speak. Don't speak. How do you justify that, Steve?
No, that's
don't
true.
Speak. What? Matt, tell him.
Look, people don't want to hear your billericay blethering of a Sunday, okay? You're here to make Gordon coffee, yeah? Talk to him off air.
Yeah, off air, yeah.
For 1 minute at a time. Mm. But do not speak on air.
What do you have to say to us? Quite right.
XFM. Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And he's here, Matt, he's here. Jimmy Carr, everybody. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you very much for that warm welcome.
No, not at all. Well, it's going to get warmer. It's going to get even warmer.
Oh, right, excellent news.
I never get the chance to tell you this, Jimmy.
Wow, this is weird.
Yeah, because...
why are you taking your top off?
Just get a little closer. Because whenever we meet, it's always lovely, it's always reasonably fleeting, and Jimmy Carr is an exceptionally nice man. And the thing is that...
This is my reputation ruined. Don't out me as a nice man.
No, but that's the thing, you see. I think that people who may be familiar with your television work would assume you were slightly barbed off stage.
Yes, yeah, I think so, yeah. I think.
But you're not.
Well, I'm surprisingly nice, but I think it's only surprising because of how awful I am on how awful people think I'll be. I think it's a weird thing where I always meet people after gigs and sort of sign things and say hello, and people are often sort of quite taken with, like, quite, you seem really nice. Yeah. I thought you'd be really aggressive and horrible. Go, no, it's just jokes.
Yeah.
Just trying to make you laugh.
And if you say something nice to these people, they must be assuming you're about to say something bad, and then they're
going to go, is he taking the...
Yeah.
It's a weird thing where I think Peter Kay gets the opposite. I was chatting to Peter about this. He said he gets the opposite. So when he meets people, if he doesn't invite them back for tea and on holiday and to stay at his for a week, they go, they feel cheated.
Yeah.
Because they think, well, it's Peter.
Yeah.
He's like the friendliest man in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to get on with his day. Whereas if I say hello or raise an eyebrow, they go, oh, he's not as bad as I thought he'd be.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a shocking indictment on me.
But you're not barbed to the point of being almost perfectly spherical.
Yes. No, I'm pretty friendly enough.
Yeah, so there you go. You see, we're busting conventions here.
Why would you be anything else, though? It's such an easy life. It's only show business. It's only some jokes, isn't it?
No, come it's on. Not. It's
people
it's
take it very seriously.
Yeah, exactly. You've got... I mean, usually when people come in and they talk about things like DVDs, there's usually an A4 piece of paper, isn't there, that someone gives us.
Sure.
And it's usually, it just says, this is terrific, and then that's it.
And mine says, this
yours is
questionable.
No,
this
no,
is,
no.
There's really, how bad is your moral compass damaged if you think this is funny?
No, yours is it's two pages of excellent kind of just facts and points of interest.
Give me a fact, give me a point of interest. Come on,
well, I mean,
I've never read my release, I'm sure someone does it. I'm sure
they're great.
Job.
In fact, the word million comes in quite a lot.
Oh,
you've sold over a million DVDs, you've performed live to over 1.2 million people.
It's more than that now, and this is an old one.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
Take that.
But yeah, no, I mean, there's the kind of live is really the thing. That's kind of, that's why I see it as my job, playing like being a stand-up comedian, quite a journeyman of stand-up.
Right.
Like I go out and do, I did like 239 gigs on this tour.
239?
Yeah, that's a long tour.
That is, that's...
I'm not messing around.
No.
I'm taking this seriously.
Do you take like the summer off? Because that leaves you, what, 3 months? No.
No time at all. But then, and then it's like, that's my job, and then the other stuff kind of fits in around it.
Right.
It's a nice job to have.
What's the worst thing about this nice job to have?
Travel is the thing.
I see.
But with anything, I mean, it's like, whether it's any job, the commute is always the tough bit.
Right.
Because you kind of just want to get on with it.
Yeah.
Get on with doing your job.
The hotels, the what about the lonely nights?
The lonely nights?
Yeah.
Stop at you. No, I've got broadband.
Okay, and you're fine. I wasn't even going that way.
No, well, hey, listen, I've got broadband and I know how to delete my search history. I'll be fine. what? In the days before that, life must have been hard.
And how is life right now?
Life's pretty sweet.
Really?
I'm just kind of getting geared up for Christmas, obviously. Uh-huh. Mainly promoting DVDs, but we've got the Big Fat Quiz of the Year is coming up, so we're sort of getting ready for that, writing some jokes.
Are you?
Hopefully, writing some jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, thinking about it, about going to write some jokes. It's quite a difficult year to write jokes about because it's been such a brutal year.
Mm.
Just so many sort of from Arab Springs to tsunamis to just so many kind of horrible,
just bad stories
out there. Yeah,
you have to concentrate on the quirkies.
We will have to go quirky.
Matt, what are some of the big stories that we've covered on this program that made
what the big quirky ones?
The big quirkies.
The big quirky ones.
You're the cow. Fence factor. Fence factor.
What, sorry?
Fence factor. The search for Britain's best fence was announced recently.
Is this like the best guy to give stolen goods to? Was it post-London riots?
No.
Who's the best guy to get a plasma to get cash?
Yeah, exactly. He's right in itself. It's good. No, Gary, a man in Tamworth, has got Britain's best fence. I don't know if you fancy going up there.
Right, is it one of the electric ones? Will it kill you?
No, it's a gentle fence.
It's a gentle fence. And you can talk to the neighbour over the top of it.
Yeah, well, it's got a window in it. That was the best fence of the year. There was some bad fences.
A window in a fence.
Yeah, there's a top 10, Jimmy. You can go through them all. I mean, there's loads of them. There's some
right.
Matlock, that had a good fence, didn't
has
it?
Has XFM lost something of its edge over the years? Because I seem to remember that kind of a hardcore indie station
not
playing
anymore.
Great indie rock tracks.
Yeah.
And now it's a bit more, well, it's more fency than I remember.
Well, and
really the main thing I've taken
cowsy.
Away is it's much more
quite,
fency.
Quite cowsy as well.
Yeah.
With Yvonne the Runaway Cow.
Yvonne the Cow in Germany.
Yeah.
A cow.
Why are you looking at this blank?
It's like you don't
ran away.
Do you not watch the news?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I know it's an early morning show. I know you've got a young child. Was it a nursery rhyme that you maybe seeped into your subconscious? Well, we should talk more about cows because they're jumping over the moon. This is crazy.
As yet, no, I'm afraid not. Well, all these things, I mean, your research, I imagine someone will present you with a file of the year and you can write jokes, but you've got a great day ahead of you writing stuff about the cow that ran away.
Sure. It ran away. Did it get back? Or?
It did have a happy ending, yes. It was
right.
A very...
It's now a burger, right?
No, they actually brought out Ernst, didn't they? The bull, which was the George Clooney of the cow world. It's got a very deep baritone voice to entice her back. They had a psychic looking for Yvonne the cow. They brought her sister out to moo into a forest.
Danny Wallace is having a breakdown.
I'm not sure,
and I feel like if I don't mention it, it's like I'm like complicit in this.
Yeah.
XFM. XFM.
The front page of the Daily Mail, if you've just joined us, says one in four Britons has never seen a police officer on the beat. And it includes community policemen, you know, and women,
yeah.
And your regular Bobby's on the beat, which is insane. Unless, is it one in four people? I mean, are they like under the age of one or something?
Yeah, it could be that. Well, it could be them. They're in the Hebrides.
They're the only
explanation I could think. Because there are quite a few of them, you know.
Yeah, I've seen. I mean, you know, we do live in London, and so we do kind of, we probably see more than our
yeah, I suppose
share.
So, yeah.
But nevertheless, I've lived in Loughborough. I've seen policemen in Loughborough.
Yeah.
In Bath. One in four have never seen a police person on the street.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's almost unbelievable, yeah. Isn't it? It's almost like they've done the maths wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been asking toddlers.
Yeah, or they've deliberately asked the wrong people.
They've been asking tourists, haven't they?
Yeah.
Who are over here for a day. But the Mail, like I say, I mean, that's the front page.
Imagine a life where you'd never seen a policeman. Imagine it.
It would be the first thing you told people.
Yeah, what's that? Who's that guy over there? Imagine if you saw a policeman for the
It would be your interesting fact about yourself.
Yeah, it would.
Be people on blind date going, and this is Terry. He's never seen a policeman. It'd be amazing. Yeah. Your mates would try and spoil it for you, wouldn't they? They'd try and force feed you policemen.
I know.
We are
XFL.
Now?
Why don't you start?
Okay, I'll start. Hi, welcome to
XFM,
XFM Breakfast with Danny Wallace. And today's guest is Tim Minchin.
It's Tim Minchin, everybody! That was nice. It was more casual than I'm used to doing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. It's breakfast. It should be.
Let's hear that! Exactly. Yeah. Or at least I would say something along the lines of Matt. He is here. We have been looking forward to this. It's Tim Minchin. Then we would all start applauding. But you undercut that.
I ruined it.
As is your wont.
I ruined my own intro.
No, you put your own spin on it.
Oh, yeah, I guess that. That's a very optimistic. You're a very optimistic person. You've always been nice to me like that. Mm. In all the ways I'm flawed, you turn it into something. You say I'm cuddly, for example.
I've never said you're cuddly. I've cuddled you.
We did have a cuddle.
We had a nice cuddle.
And I got one of my hairs in your beard.
You did. It was nice. That's going on eBay
later.
It makes
me feel a little bit sick.
Why is that?
Just beard and hair, and it's just all a bit personal.
Well, you know, that's what a hug is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Swapping of DNA.
It was a moment we shared. This is a strange conversation that we're having right now.
That's all right. It'll get worse.
It will. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
It's great to
good on
see
you having a radio show and everything.
Well, thank you
it's
very much.
Worked out well.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to get up early.
Yeah, every day.
The relentlessness of it is what I enjoy.
It's like life in general. It's just all. Always there every morning when you wake up.
But it's more brightly coloured between 6:30 and 10. That's what life is like for me.
Really?
Yeah, it's like these moments are sort of effervescent, and then I return to the grey drudge of everyday
normal
tedium.
Life, right. So basically what you say is if your voice can be amplified, the world sparkles.
Yes, exactly.
I know what you're saying.
If you want to invest in a pilot scheme where, you know, I attach microphones all over my body and speakers and I can just walk through town commentating.
I think it's a perfectly reasonable idea. I cannot think why that's not a good idea.
Yeah. So listen, Tim, your new DVD just came out on Monday.
Yeah, this is the recording of the orchestra nonsense.
You say nonsense. Tim Minchin and the Heritage Orchestra, why do you say nonsense?
Because it was just the biggest... It's ridiculous. I mean, nonsense is a very positive word in my world. There were 60 people on stage. It was at the Albert Hall, and it's this massive, you know, we had sound guys from Holland, and everyone on stage had in-ear fold back, and there were 9 cameras, and this incredible orchestra of highly trained musicians, and I'm doing songs about cheese and the Pope. You know? That is nonsense at an epic scale.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned that earlier as well, a song about cheese. I mean, Dave, should we play a bit of that? Here it is. It's called Cheese.
Well, it's called Cheese, and I don't want to give it away, but it's pretty much... But it's, yeah, the title gives you a hint.
All right. Yeah. Here it is.
I love cheese, but it's plain to say that cheese doesn't love me. I am such a fool in love. I just cannot get it. But it's an unrequited love. I can feel it in my guts. I spend my nights tossing and turning. My stomach is churning. My heart is a-burning. My nightmares are turning. I'm haunting and shaming. To drive me insane. All the pain, a blue vein on my brain. And I wake up
sweat on my brow. I know I gotta give it up and I gotta do it now. But instead in the morning when my wife is gone, I find myself back on cheeseroll.com. And I know that it's wrong, but I'm soon navigating to the real mature stuff, funky old ladies. Feeding my fetish for battered old feta. Photos of freezing on beds of bruschetta. And the world sees now, the mind is wet. The faster the speed my mouth gets wet.
There you go, cheese.
Yeah, so a bit of a song about cheese.
There you go, absolutely.
It's actually, the full version is almost 7 minutes long and has three movements. It's funk and Parisian waltz and a bit of meatloaf, and I play a guitar and a retro keyboard and the grand piano.
Why is it, do you think, you lack such focus musically? We are XFL. What's this email you got?
Okay, well, it's an email about the world's first gravy bar.
I love it already.
Bizarrely, now, the only people on the email were me, Kitro, and Baby Dave.
Now, I was...
You weren't on it.
I was left off.
Sorry.
It's almost
that.
Like they thought I might mock it somehow.
Yeah.
Now, a gravy bar.
A gravy bar.
Let's talk about gravy bars.
Okay, here's the setup. Not just a gravy bar, but the person at the gravy bar pump pulling the gravy is someone called Sam from The Only Way Is Essex.
Another big tick. This has got everything so far.
So it's a Coleman's Instant Gravy Paste.
Right. Right
on Monday.
Hang on. They said they... What? Instant Gravy Paste?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is a step forward from the granule, perhaps.
I see. So they've moved things forward into the paste.
I think so, yeah.
Gravy paste sounds... I mean, you know, I think I can say this because I don't think there's a very high chance of Coleman's Gravy Paste wanting to sponsor the show. But, you know, that doesn't sound... I mean, paste? Gravy
doesn't
paste?
Lovely, does it?
Mm.
Sounds a bit like potted meat.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, the PR person says, we'd love to bring Sam and the Instant Gravy Bar to your office stroke studio on Monday so that you and the team can meet Sam, great, as well as get exclusive access to the world's first gravy bar.
Right.
You'll get the opportunity to stand behind the bar and pull your very own gravy pint.
You're kidding me.
Onto food of your choice.
Whoa! So it'll be like the Star Trek generator. You can just sort of generate food of your choice. Is that what this is? And so we would have exclusive access to the world's first gravy bar.
Yes.
And this would be exclusive.
Yeah. This would be exclusive. Pretty much, I think he's offering us the exclusive, yeah.
So we would have the exclusive, and then they would rest it, they'd put it to bed. They would no one else would ever pull a pint of gravy. Also, a pint is a lot of gravy.
It is, yeah.
Why would we pull a pint of gravy?
Whatever food you ask for, it's going to be drowned out by all that gravy, isn't it?
They've not thought this through.
Don't worry, though. There will be plenty of time to interview Sam afterwards,
okay,
live
great.
Or pre-recorded, so great. It's quite flexible.
Absolutely. Just type back, no. So, good morning, everybody. It's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, sitting next to Matt Dyson, as usual. It's been a good day so far, Matt.
Yeah, it has indeed. And, of course, there's the Loaded Laughter Award nomination for Funniest Radio Show that we've garnered.
That's
not bad after 3 months, eh? We haven't actually told people how to vote on that yet, though.
We haven't told people how to vote on that. We're not going to.
Why? Why? We need people to vote, though, don't we? We're the smallest.
You shouldn't say small, should you? I've told you about it. We don't say we're a small. We say boutique. We are a boutique breakfast show, Matt. We are discerning. That's our thing.
There's no reason to be against getting awards, though, is it? I mean, that's actually more of a compliment, really, that we've been nominated.
Awards are just trinkets, Matt. They're just trinkets. Awards are, yeah.
But this is a Loaded Laughter.
Trinkets. Then. They're baubles, you know. They're PR. They're just... Backslaps, Matt. Oh, look at us. We've got an award from the man. Huh? We're approved by the establishment, Matt. Book us a table at the Ivy. The important thing, and you should listen to me when I say this, is not, like, awards. It's the show, okay?
Yeah. But it's nice, though, isn't it?
It's nice.
It's nice to get some recognition. Yeah, someone saying that you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So if people do want to vote...
Well, then they shouldn't. They shouldn't, Matt. They shouldn't want to. Do you know anything about the history of awards? Because I've looked into it. I've looked into the history of awards. Hitler won awards, didn't he? He won a number of internal awards at sort of Nazi conferences in the 30s. So do you still like awards? That's my question to you. Do you still like them?
I didn't realise about the awards that Hitler had won, Danny, but... I think in this case, Loaded Laughter is, you know, it's one of the established awards on the circuit. You know, it's got a lot of kudos, you know, in certainly in the comedy industry. And it's quite a big sponsor as well.
hardly ever win awards. I mean, yeah, there was that North Leicestershire under-12s breaststroke championship, but I'm 35 now. I've probably only got another 3 or 4 years that'll sound impressive. But an award for this show from Loaded magazine. I mean, that is the biggest prize in radio after the Sonys and the Archivers and all the other ones. No, it's a people's vote, and we're a boutique breakfast show. How could this happen?
So basically what I'm saying is that even if Hitler did win an award, they probably asked for it back after the whole war thing.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point. He probably should never have even been nominated. But then the funny thing is, I mean, some of Hitler's ideas were actually sort of, you know, you can't say that everything.
It's his problem. All he's got to do is say that people can vote for us online at loaded.co.uk by clicking on Laughters and then going through a grueling list of options before getting to Funniest Radio Show and then voting for the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. Doesn't matter how many times he calls it boutique, he's not fooling anyone. He needs this to feel good about himself. It would benefit him and us. It'll bring us closer together. After all, I love him. I love him. I just need some way of telling him, and maybe this could be it.
But anyway, that's just my opinion. You know, you've probably got your own opinion about Hitler. Dave, your thoughts?
I wonder if there is a shoe as big as a house.
So vote for the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace at loaded.co.uk, your boutique
small
breakfast show.
We are XFM! You spotted a nice little thing there, Matt.
Get this. Shadow Chancellor Ed Balls cries when he watches the Antiques Roadshow.
Now, I happened to see Points of View the other day, and they were talking about what seemed to be a startling episode of Antiques Roadshow, where everyone was crying.
Right.
Does he mean he cried at that one, or does he cry every week?
He cries every week. This is from Total Politics magazine, which I subscribe to, obviously.
This is XFM.
He says the show is incredibly emotional. He says, here's a quote from him. You know when someone comes in with some family heirloom and it's often the last bit in the programme and the expert says, do you know how much this is worth? It's valued at X thousand pounds. And they say, I'm amazed it's worth that much, but it means more to me than money. Incredibly emotional.
Oh my God, that's a guy that shouldn't watch EastEnders.
And that makes him cry. That makes Ed Balls cry.
Oh man, can you imagine if... I mean, if he listened to a Snow Patrol or a Coldplay album, I'd be weeping all over the place.
He'd be in bits.
What's happened to him that this has happened?
I don't know.
When was the last time you inappropriately cried?
I was talking about this the other week. It was during a Tim Minchin live DVD.
That one, that's not
That was unexpected, because I thought it was a comedy, though. You know,
yeah, but it's a very touching song at the end.
It's a very touching song at the end, which is lovely.
I've got a friend who cried watching the film Twins. The Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito thing, when Arnold and Dan Denny meet their mother, their birth mother, their biological mother. He was weeping. The last time it happened to me, I was watching that Justin Timberlake, Mila Kunis film in a screening after the first day of doing this show. So I was tired and emotional and it was dark. And there was a moment there where I started to go. I had to start reading the notes just to distract myself, especially because Johnny Vaughan was sitting 2 feet in front of me. And I thought the last thing I want on my first day is the lights going up and Johnny Vaughan turning around and seeing me weeping at Justin Timberlake. You know, that would have been around the company in seconds.
Yeah, it would.
Phil, when was the last time you inappropriately cried?
I don't know if you're familiar with the programme A Place in the Sun, Home or Away.
Already, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, go on.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to you, really. I mean, when you're doing this job and you get home and you're so tired and you just watch the programme and this couple had been looking for a house for so long and they finally found it and, you know, the woman started crying and I just started welling up.
Oh, man.
But it wasn't inappropriate because I was on my own.
So. Anything for you, Dave?
Well, I think it's been mentioned before, but Hugh Jackman's latest blockbuster, Real Steel.
About the robots?
Yeah.
Fighting robots?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, that's
it's
nice.
It's got a really touching ending.
God, it nearly went!
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Hi, they call me Will Ferrell, and you're listening to the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace, who I know as a real sucker. I don't know how I got in here. Can you use that?
Yeah.
Okay.
XFM.
Matt, am I right in thinking we're going to turn this gravy thing down, yeah?
Yes, if you want to, yeah.
The gravy experience that we're offered.
Yeah, this is referring to a press release we got from a PR company asking if we wanted to be involved in the launch of the first instant gravy bar.
Yeah, absolutely. Coleman's Gravy Paste.
Yeah.
You know, we've mentioned them a couple of times now. They're becoming very rapidly the new Ibstock Bricks of our show.
And we had the chance, or we have the chance, to meet a man from The Only Way Is Essex, Sam. Isn't Sam a girl?
Sam, I don't know. I don't really watch the program. I'm not a big fan of heightened reality, but I'm not sure.
No one in here knows. I'm not a fan of heightened reality. I like a very mundane life. No surprises,
it is,
please.
It's a female. It's a lady. Female, Sam. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we've misjudged this opportunity.
So basically, she comes in. Yeah. She brings whatever food you want, and then pours a pint of gravy over it. This sounds like a crazy dream.
It does. Or a really terrible skill. Is it like a circus skill? What does she do? She pours a pint of gravy over whatever food you like. Any food you like, she can pour gravy on it.
What a gig, eh, that was. Did you get offered the chance to do this, Danny?
Sometimes you get these, you get an email that goes, we'd just like to get in touch with Danny with the chance to do that, and you read it. Now, if I'd been sent this, I'd be going, so what is it? What? Well, we want you to turn up at the offices of XFM and pour some gravy over some food. And then you'll be interviewed afterwards.
I know. Imagine the pitch from her agent. Yeah, I've got you a top job here. You're going to be the face of Coleman's instant gravy paste.
Sign me up. What do I do?
It's perfect brand synergy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You, the gravy paste.
She said yes, though. So
she
we
said yes as well.
But how are they going to call her today and go? XFM don't want to.
No.
It's just a bit, it's a breakfast show. Not really very gravy led. It's not right for the breakfast show demographic. You know, if it had been milk on cornflakes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Straight there. Maybe the odd ketchup on a flaccid omelette.
XFM.
Let's get quizzical.
Young Mozart.
Young Mozart, now. The year is 1759. You are the teenage musical prodigy Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. At just 17, Mel, you are already the court composer in the Palace of Salzburg, with 12 years of composing experience behind you and proficient in both keyboard and violin. But you are also a bounty hunter. Okay, Mel, choose a number, please.
7.
You're saying 7?
What? 7.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so the Young Mozart adventure that you have chosen is this. Mel, we find you, Young Mozart, in an unknown, unfamiliar land. You've done everything the wizened old soothsayer told you to. You have battled the dancing skeletons of the Peruvian deserts. You took on the giant, mighty sea monster of Paraguay. You and your guide, Umbopa, have followed the centuries-old map you received from the old man in Asia, said to lead to King Solomon's mines. You're on the hunt for your former mentor, kindly Uncle Bobby, who you fear may have been kidnapped, along with his dog Bobby and his wife, also called Bobby. Mel, where have all the Bobbies gone?
They're all 16, they're much too young, that's why they're not there.
All right, fair enough. Slightly strange moment there from Mel, but we'll move on. It is then, Mel, Umbopa reveals that he is the son of a former chief treacherously killed by the usurper Twala, that you, young Mozart, agree, in return for his help in finding Bobby, that you will help his tribe end Twala's cruel reign. Am I right, Mel?
Yes, I'm up for it.
Then, in the distance, careful when you say that, you see a familiar figure, Mel. No, it can't be. It is. It's young Salieri.
It is I, Salieri. I am quite young.
I told you. Salieri, back home in Austria, he's your rival. He is impressed by your prodigious talents, but at the same time, he is jealous that he will never possess them. He hates how you waste them on wine and women, and he wants to punish you for his own failings. But what is that in his hand? And who is that by his side? Could it be a gun and your uncle?
I am holding a gun, and this is your uncle.
It is!
So, young Mozart, back in Salzburg, you have the power. But here, so far from home, it seems the glove is on the other foot, no?
Come on, quickly, come up with a witty comeback, Mel, quickly.
I don't know.
You need a witty comeback. When the time's running out, you need a witty comeback.
I just keep laughing so that I can't think of anything stupid to say.
Just anything. He just said the glove seems on the other foot. What about something along the lines of, oh, well, you don't know what a glove is.
Oh, well, you don't know what a glove is.
Zing! What a zinger. Good one, Mel. Roll the dice. A number between 1 and 6, please.
3.
7.
Okay, your choice is A, tell him not to shoot, or B, rush him and knock the gun from his hand. You have 2 seconds to decide.
I'm going to rush him.
You've decided. Jeez. You've decided.
I'm going to rush him.
You're going to rush him, Mel. You've decided to rush him, but wait. What's this? Oh, the music, Mel. The music is so wonderful, and you realise it's coming from Salieri. That's not a gun, Mel. It's a tiny keyboard.
All I crave is your respect. So I am playing this tiny keyboard very close to your uncle's ear. It is not a gun, but if it was, the bullets would be made of love.
Wow. It's terrific music, young Mozart. But you have one suggestion for Salieri. A chord so new that no one has ever tried it. It's a mix of the note F, the note M, and the note X. And the only way to try it is to complete the following sentence.
We are...
Salieri, it's XFM!
She's done it! She's done it! We are... A last-minute influx of incredible, inappropriate crying moments there, Matt, from our emotional listeners. They're not overly emotional, okay? We're not saying that. There's just sometimes a little moment happens and it just gets you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Sets you off.
It just sets you off. This is all because of Ed Balls in Antiques Roadshow. And he didn't just weep at the one last week, which is what a lot of people were talking about, but every week... He cries emotionally, floods of tears at Antiques Roadshow. So we asked you what you last inappropriately cried at. Let's have a listen. Well, first sad story here, man. Anonymous says, I cried at my birthday on Sunday just gone, because not everyone came to the Christmas fair I wanted to go to. I'm 26. My cat stopped giving me cuddles for 4 days recently. Then she thought she would give me one. I had a little cry. But really, she was probably just playing me. What else is going on?
Confirm listener Stu, the last time I cried was when Optimus Prime was slain by Megatron. Thank heaven Sam resurrected him with dust of the Matrix of leadership. I may never have recovered.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, guys. We were listening to Adele, Rumour Has It, and my six-year-old just said, Dad, two things. One, who is this rumour? And two, what's he got? It brought a tear to my eye. That's from Cy in Rixmansworth. Matt?
Hello, Danny. I have a tendency to cry at the London Marathon.
Okay.
Regards, Julie Chiswick.
Thank you for that confession. Confirm listener Andy, your crying story, please.
DIY SOS gets me every time.
DIY SOS. Something about, you know, when it goes well, the way Nick Knowles just looks at the person receiving the DIY SOS.
He can set you off.
It gets me as well.
Knowles.
The last time, says Robert, was when England lost 4-1 to Germany in the World Cup, and he backs this up with a little crying emoticon as well. Matt?
Here's one from Hayley from Hampstead. She says, the last time I inappropriately cried was when I was watching the final of Tool Academy. I cried because I was actually happy, as I thought it was really sweet how much the winning Tool had changed.
That is true. I know that the presenter of Tool Academy, Rick Edwards, listens to the show. So, yes. Rick, if you're listening, clutch that to your bosom. Maybe get in touch with the show as well with your thoughts and memories about
He's
that.
Often in floods in the edit suite.
Yes. Vic in Essex says, it wasn't the last time, but I did cry inappropriately at the Bisto advert in the 1980s when all the family left home and the mum was left on her own with a big jug of gravy. That image has stayed with me all these years. Confirmed listener Fran last inappropriately cried at work listening to Coldplay's Fix You. Which is nice, and we're playing a little bit of Coldplay now to make people cry. A lot of people cried when Schmeichel the dog in Coronation Street was put down, including Rick the Crane in Hartford.
Yeah.
What else, Matt?
Marley and Me's also getting quite a few shouts.
It is, yeah.
Here's another one from Anonymous.
Yeah.
Watching the In It to Win It game show on Challenge TV. Not sure why I was so happy for the guy who won, but couldn't help welling up.
Yeah.
He wasn't emotional at all.
I cry at the new Santander radio advert, says confirmed listener Tom. We'll try and find that for you. Someone says the Mighty Ducks, the last second goal. The Ducks win, the Ducks win. Still so embarrassed. Confirmed listener Ollie, tell us about your friend.
My mate Martin has only cried at one film in his life, Cool Runnings.
He cried at Cool Runnings, his friend. XFM. Gran gets to grips with a grope ghost.
Now, what?
A grandmother claims she is being terrorised in the night by a ghostly groper. Doris Birch, who's 73, says the phantom first appeared in her flat 4 months ago. A lot of alliteration there. She said, it's like an octopus. I was lying in bed when I felt this creepy pair of hands. I'm not sure she's ever seen an octopus, has she? I kicked frantically and it went away. This is very creepy. It's giving me the jitters. It's harassing me. And she sought help from some local Ghostbusters, Ray and Beryl Hearn. who have promised to capture this lost spirit in a vortex of light.
Ray and Beryl are doing that.
Yeah. Wow. They've got a little battery-operated torch, I think, and they're going to go around and just do that. I mean, you hear about this a lot, don't you, these phantom gropers?
Yeah.
It's just, more and more, it's sickening how in this day and age, ghosts are still indulging in sexual harassment.
Yeah,
do you not think?
It's outrageous, yeah.
I don't care what era you're from, ghost. This is 2011. Fit in or get out. You know? It's not the Elizabethan era. You're not a roundhead. Keep your hands off our grannies. It just seems like it's one rule for them, doesn't it? And one rule for us. I mean, they can get away with anything, these guys. Octopuses with a pair of hands. It's got to be. I mean, there must be some like suffragette ghosts who are complaining about the other ghosts. Just going, really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I did in my life? I fought against this kind of stuff, and now there you are, going into the other life from the afterlife. And anyway, it's making me angry this morning, Matt. These blooming ghosts.
They need to go to self-help groups or something, don't they, to get over this?
They do raise their spirits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Boom.
We are XFM.
Quiz Face.
I'm Mel from Mitcham, and I just won Quiz Face. It was emotionally exhausting, mentally absolutely grueling, and erotically charged. Now I look at my life and wonder where I can go from here. Oh, to be young Mozart again. Thank you, Quiz Face. Thank you, Danny Wallace.
XFM.
Chit-chat roulette.
Chit-chat roulette.
See? I told you. And basically, what this is, it's the first time I've heard this, this jaunty number.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is, right, from now on, well, it's almost like at school, you know, you're putting a tick next to a text or maybe a gold star, something like that. When something really kind of appeals to us, Matt, you know, we've got questions about it, we want to know more about it, we try and get more involved.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like we then take all those texts and we spin a ball, we have some kind of effect. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. It's a real ball. Go on. Real roulette wheel.
Yeah. All right. Then we sit through this. We're still refining this feature.
No. Ready.
Oh, 48 black. All right. Well, you know what that means. I then have to go to 48 black, bring up that caller. We line up about 50 or 60 callers for this. And this morning, it's none other than TV's Rick Edwards. Rick, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Rick.
The sound effects are amazing.
Please don't mock the format.
No, the format's great. I just think the sound effects need a bit of work.
Now, Rick, the reason we're speaking to you this morning, I mean, we would like to speak to you every morning if we could, but the reason this morning... Well, we could do. Keep your phone on from about 6:30 from now on. Let's see where that happens.
Yeah, that's the reason it's not going to happen.
Now, Rick, I don't know if you were listening earlier. I imagine you were probably asleep. You're a very lazy man. But why don't we just revisit that moment? Because we had a text in, Rick, from a listener called Hayley.
Okay.
And we've tried to phone Hayley back this morning, but she's too upset to come on. And it says simply the following. Danny, the last time I inappropriately cried was when I was watching the final of Tool Academy.
Yes.
I cried because I was actually happy. I thought it was really sweet how much the winning Tool had changed. And she finishes that off with just a single kiss. Rick, can you, as the presenter of Tool Academy, can you just talk me through your memories of that day?
Yeah, so which day would this be?
I think it was the final. Really, the very final.
Yeah.
Just check your diary. Have you got your diary there?
No, I haven't actually. But I've got an amazing memory, fortunately. Yes, no, I do remember the day, actually. So you've got a situation where you've got three tools.
Tools.
Basically, sort of, which is like American for goon, really.
Yeah, three goons.
Three goons.
In a row.
You're three goons. It might as well be called Goon Academy, but yeah, there you go. You inherit a name, you get on with it.
Yeah.
And you've got these three goons, and they've all been becoming progressively less goony.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of decide which one is the least goony. And in this case, it was a gentleman called Danny John Smith.
Yeah.
Had he been
fully de-gooned?
He'd been totally stripped of goon. To be fair, it was quite emotional.
Yeah.
And all his goon barriers were down, and he won. And it's quite a nice moment because, you know, he wins £25,000 as well.
That's good.
As a reward for not being a goon anymore.
And how do you tell when a goon has been de-gooned fully?
Yeah.
Is there a goon test?
And, you know, I don't want this to get out, but it's not an exact science.
Okay.
There's so many factors. There really are. Okay. And I don't want to entirely give the game away. Because okay. I think on the show, we do keep people guessing. By which I mean, people will often go, well, you've got that totally wrong. so we need to keep an air of mystique.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, yeah. Obviously it was like an emotional time, not just for the goon, but the goon's girlfriend. And you as a...
Yeah, and for the other goons as well, to be fair.
The other goons. And you as the goon observer. And in some way, commentator on the goon. What would it have been like for Hayley watching at home?
I think, I mean, as Hayley has said, I mean, she's totally lost it. Mm. And as I think a lot of people probably have, because it's compelling, moving television at its best. You've just got these people who you've watched for 8 weeks, and they're goons, and then they're not goons. It's heartening. It says something about the sort of human condition, doesn't it? There's hope. There's hope for everyone. Because everyone knows a goon. Everyone knows a goon.
Yeah. We all know goons.
I imagine that you're all looking at Matt at the moment.
XFM. Tony Bowen's in the studio. Hey, Tony.
Good morning.
Your moustache is getting smaller and smaller.
It is indeed.
Came in last week, it was like a handlebar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today it's like a mini Selleck. So Tony is working his way through the top 1,000 songs of all time, according to XFM, recording his own versions of them. It's fantastic here every week, getting better and better. The pressure is on. So Tony, let's do this. Let's have another folk hero moment.
Okay.
I've been watching your world from afar. I've been trying to be where you are. I've been secretly falling apart, unseen. To me, you're strange and you're beautiful. You'd be so perfect with me, but you just can't see. You turn every head, but you don't see me. I put a spell on you. You fall asleep and I put a spell on you. When I wake you, I'll be the first thing you see. Realize that you love me. I spend my time watching spaces that have grown between us, and I cut my mind on certain bears, skies that come with green.
and I gave my eyes to the boredom. Still the sea would let me in. I tried my best to embrace the darkness in which I swim. Keep your head up, keep your heart strong. No, 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 keep your mind set, keep your head low. Oh, my darling, keep my head up, keep your heart strong.
Tony Bowen! Excellent work, Tony!
We are
XFM.
We're ready to go. What have we learnt? I wonder what we've learnt. Matt Dyson, what have you learned?
Well, I've learned there's anger on the streets of Southampton this morning after my gaff earlier.
What a gaff it was.
Regarding the hometown of XFM Winter Wonderland Stars Band of Skulls. Yeah. They are not from Portsmouth. I was wrong to get the two towns mixed up. To set the record straight, some musicians that are from Portsmouth.
Oh, yeah.
Mick Jones, the founder of Foreigner, was born in Pompey.
You want that down in case that comes up.
Roger Hodgson from Supertramp. And hardcore techno artist DJ Hixie.
Great. Well, the next time we play Hixie,
all
from Portsmouth. Fantastic. Well, there was fury this morning, as you said, from our Southampton listeners at the association made with Portsmouth in the show. There was less fury from Portsmouth-based listeners who didn't mind the misassociation, meaning either they were grateful or above such things. Either way, it's weird. Go on.
Yes, it is weird. No more mentions of the word goon this morning after what's become known as the Goon Show yesterday with surprise special guest Rick Edwards talking about his Tool Academy and the goons therein, prompting confused, confirmed listener Lucy to ask on the text, what is a goon?
Well, absolutely, I remember that, yeah.
Some people don't know what goons are.
They don't. There's also this morning, interestingly, the first use of the word solemnity on the show, as well as the description of a bus booth strip light as jaundicing. expect more of that soon. Top listener contributions this morning go to confirmed listeners Neil and Lloyd on the M11 for a fantastic song choice, and Sue C. Long for her first ever audio appearance, which we were very happy to broadcast. Any others there from you, Matt?
It's marvellous stuff.
It is marvellous. Oh, by the way, young Mozart, the composer stroke bounty hunter, made his first successful appearance on the show this morning with only one listener, Magnus, not understanding what was going on. Magnus's number has been noted from the text system, and Magnus has now been banned. I repeat, Magnus has been banned.
XFM.
So there you go, ladies and gents. That was podcast number 18 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Don't forget, we're on air every day from 6:30 all week on 104.9 FM, online at xfm.co.uk, or on DAB with the little thing that just says XFM, I imagine. I'm off to watch a lady pour a pint of gravy on some food. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.